Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And I am really excited about our expert today. We all know the world is exploding with video. Having the right strategy and knowing how to monetize it is key. So get your pen and paper out because we're going to show you that today. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. Cheryl Plouffe is the founder of Cheryl Plouffe Media. She's a video strategist, an entrepreneur, international speaker, and former Canadian TV broadcaster. She has been seen by millions over the course of her 25-year career in news media, has produced thousands of video, and has broadcasted over 20,000 hours of live television. So she's walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So we're excited to have her here today. So thank you so much for being here, Cheryl.
Thank you so much, Patty. And when I walked that walk, I was usually walking in platform heels, which I don't do anymore because I work from home.
I totally get it though, because I have quite the selection of stilettos myself. And so I totally get it now that we're working from home. But you know what? I believe that strategy is strategy and knowing how to leverage and monetize no matter what you're wearing works. And I know we're going to talk about that today. So let's just dive right in. And so you have all these hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours. And so I know that you have a lot to share with the audience today. But I also know that with all of that, when it went to YouTube and when we're making videos, that you actually had a small YouTube channel that you got 1 million views. So let's start right with that and tell us, how did that happen?
Yeah, let's start there. That channel was a channel that wasn't even monetized at the time that I published that video that subsequently went to 1 million views organically, no paid ads, within 11 months. The reason why it did that was because I did what I preach, which is for small YouTube channels that are looking to monetize, that are looking to grow, that my opinion is that you should focus on search-based content. What are people actually looking for? What are the words and the terms and the phrases and keywords that they're using in Google, which owns YouTube, the two largest search engines in the world? And that's what I did. I looked at what was relevant. At the time that I posted that video that subsequently now has over 1 million views, it was about Zoom green screen. Well, at the time that I published it, guess what? It was at the beginning of the pandemic when the whole world was focusing on Zoom and trying to figure some stuff out. So I looked at that and I thought, how can I be relevant to the conversation that's actually happening? I did keyword research and looked at words and terms that people were searching for and thought, yeah, I have something to say about this. I can inject myself into the conversation around this. Lo and behold, I did the video and 11 months later, it has 1 million views.
I love that. And in my world, and probably in yours too, as a broadcaster, in my world as marketing and media, we call that newsjacking, right? You know, that is when you are absolutely finding ways to insinuate your business into something that is happening in the market right now. And that was definitely a great newsjacking example. So that is really great. And you're right. You know, I think that now that everybody is at home, finding new ways all the time to be doing video and staying ahead of the game in a world where we are at home. We are watching a lot more videos nowadays and spending a lot more time on Zoom and doing those things. Really, honestly, how are you going to separate yourself from everybody else? And there's a lot of different ones. I have to tell you, just because I have to mention it, on Instagram, those video reels that everybody is doing now. I mean, I have to tell you, some people are doing it super, super well, especially people that are in their 20s and 30s are doing it really good. But I have to tell you, I've been seeing a few people that are a little bit more my generation that are getting it. But I have to tell you, I laugh a lot and I make this little joke when I'm showing my husband. I'm like, what do you think? Should I be doing some of these, you know, for my moves and stuff? And I think it really shows. And one of the things that I want people to know, and one of the reasons why I asked you to be here today, is you don't have to do every single thing. There's a lot of ways to do video. There's a lot of ways that you can get yourself out there and be an authority. You don't have to do every single one. So if dancing and pointing and, you know, editing and captions isn't your jam, that's okay, because there'll be a lot of other things that you can do too. So I have to tell you, when I was looking at one of the things that I saw on your site, was you were talking about these YouTube shorts. And I was like, now there's a kind of a catchy phrase, and I don't know how many people in my audience know what a YouTube short is. So what is that? And can you tell us a little bit about what are some ideas on how they could use that strategy in their business?
Well, Patty, you just touched on something really important, and that is that short form video is blowing up, but you don't have to necessarily be on all the platforms. You don't have to dance. You don't have to act the fool if that's not what your brand is. You want to be staying in your lane. I've tried it. I've been on all the platforms, but I also consider myself to be that's my responsibility as a video strategist, is to better understand these platforms. So I do experiment so that I have working knowledge about what I can then impart to others as a leader in this field. So I have tried TikTok. I tried dancing. It was a flop. Apparently, people don't want to see me dance. Who knew? So I tried it. What I did do, though, was I did more authoritative type, teaching type videos, and those ones seem to do much better. Same with Instagram Reels. I do some Reels, and I take that approach. I'm not dancing and doing all that. It's just not my DNA. Short form video, though, is really, really key and important in the world that we live in now because of people's attention spans. So to answer your question about what YouTube shorts are, they are, as of the recording of our conversation here, I believe it's still in beta, but it is a short form up to 60 second video on YouTube. But get this, it's vertical. So normally on YouTube, right, you see videos that are horizontal. The aspect ratio is wider than it is tall, just like your normal YouTube video that fills the screen. Well, YouTube Shorts are the vertical version. It's just like what you see on Instagram and on IGTV. And it's up to 60 seconds long. And YouTube Shorts are intended to be YouTube's answer to short form mobile video. In other words, vertical video. So it's an area that I've been exploring. I've been learning more. I've been doing some of them. I actually created a video, and you can see that on my YouTube channel, about YouTube Shorts and some, I think, put 10 ideas for business owners on what they could do with YouTube Shorts, the types of videos that they might like to produce or think about. But that's really what it is. So it's interesting, right? A YouTube, a platform that has traditionally always been one way, is even going into vertical video themselves, which is completely contradictory to what they've built their whole platform on.
So can you share with us a few ideas that business owners, entrepreneurs would use a YouTube short for?
Yeah, sure. I can give a couple of examples. One would be, you could do even a short testimonial, maybe even a case study of someone that you have worked with. It might also be a compare and contrast type of scenario. I'm trying to think of things that you can do in a short period of time. 60 seconds is not very long. What's interesting about minute videos is that they're often more there's more strategy that has to go into a 1 minute video than it is maybe even a longer form video. But things like testimonials, things like point of view type of videos. So it's where you are just sharing an idea or a point of view. Maybe it's even a controversial point of view on your subject matter. Those are some ideas, but I have a whole host of them on my channel.
Awesome. They need to check out your channel. So I love that. And I know that one of the things about YouTube, really, because I know that my podcast is audio, but I still have a YouTube channel for it. And we still have all kinds of audio snippets and we put that on YouTube as well. So let's just get to the question everybody really wants to know. I know people are used to waiting and having to wait, you know, 40 minutes into the show, but let's just jump on it right now and talk about it. What are a few ways that people can monetize YouTube?
Well, if you have a channel, it's a newer channel that doesn't have yet 1,000 subscribers or 4,000 hours of watch time in the last 12 months, you're not eligible for the YouTube Partner Program, which is the monetization model from YouTube itself. So when you hear about people who are posting videos and YouTube is paying them through the YouTube, like through AdSense, like they're getting money for having run ads on your videos, and you get the choice in your YouTube channel whether you choose to monetize each individual video or not. That is one monetization model. And there are people who build channels on YouTube specifically just to drive the revenue from the views that they get on the videos. And that can be a model that can work. But you have to, again, you have to reach a certain echelon before you're even eligible for that program to be monetized. When I'm dealing, and I don't know about you, Patty, but most of the people that we work with, you know, are people who probably are building their own courses, their own products, their own services. Like they're looking to package their own expertise and build memberships and masterminds and all of that. So YouTube can be an evergreen driver of leads to that business. You can use the YouTube channel art to drive people to your free opt-in or to any place that you like. So one other way of looking at YouTube is to drive leads to the other things that you sell, your actual products and services. But you do need to make sure that within the videos themselves, and even from a channel level, that you've got ways to drive people back to that place, that landing page or that website where you want to drive people to learn more about your products and services. So really just two different ways to look at the monetization model there, or you can even use both. You know, you could have both. You could be like monetizing your channel through views on your channel, but that's not going to make up the bulk of your income for most people. I think there's this misnomer that, oh, I'm just going to build this channel and it's going to take care of all my problems. I view it as extra money. You know, I really view YouTube as being the place to drive leads and trying to build an audience and driving people to my website or other places where I can nurture that relationship and maybe even eventually get some clients from that.
No, actually, I agree with you. Like, I know that for my YouTube channel, I use my YouTube channel to do a couple things. I use it to raise awareness that even though this is my podcast, but I also have a magazine. And so I have a thing there that where they can subscribe to, you know, did you know we have a sister publication? And I send them over to the magazine. And I also have a Marketing Media Money like tips ebook. Sometimes I use that, you know, and I have a Marketing Media Money assessment. Sometimes I use that. So there's a lot of different ways that you can use that. But I think like everything else, those are all just different tools in your toolbox, right? And it's just another tool. And then I think that, wouldn't you say it also comes back to the fact that just like in every other marketing aspect of your business, there are people who like to read, there's people who want to listen, there's, you know, audio, there's people who want to watch. So it's really making sure that you're getting your content on every platform that your ideal client may or may not, you know, want to take that information in, right? You know, so it's sort of like how some people like text and some people like email, right? You know, and stuff that you want to know, what's their preferred method of taking in that information and then making sure your content is there.
And doesn't it also start, and I know this is what you specialize in, Patty, is really helping people to determine who is that ideal person. You have to really understand not only who that ideal person is, but how they behave. Because once you know how they behave, you can then start to understand better where they're hanging out, how they're interacting with that content, what platforms you should be on, and where you should be spending your time, energy, and attention. And money. I think that's with YouTube. I mean, I hear about people all the time, I want to grow my YouTube channel. And then when I tell them what's involved in growing the YouTube channel, they go, oh, wait a minute, it's work? I say, yes, it's work, right? So you have to be ready and be in a position to commit to it. It requires commitment to grow a channel. In 2020, I produced a video every week for the entire year. And I did do it myself because I actually was in part doing almost a bit of an experiment with myself over the course of that year. So I produced them myself every week for 52 consecutive weeks. I did not miss any week, even though I was tired and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was one video one week where I was putting the finishing touches on that video 2 minutes before it went to publish. So it is work. But at the end of that year, by being committed to the process, I had gained over 14,000 subscribers in 1 year on a channel that previously hadn't even been monetized. Earlier that year, I started with 850 subscribers.
So that's a big difference. And I think that people really need to realize that when you're talking about monetizing, A, you said one of my favorite words when you said behavior, it isn't just target market. I mean, people have just had that drilled in their head for so long, and I'm in marketing. And yes, target market is important, but it's just step one. You know, it's really knowing who your target market. Yes, now you're just shrinking it down, but to really shrink it down more, yes, there's psychographics. That's really important. But we live in a world now where there's so much data. And when you can use that data and the behaviors that people have, that's really where strategy, leverage, and monetization all kind of come together. And so we have that information. It's knowing how to use it, right? And so I think a lot of times it's really checking your analytics and your insights and finding out where do your people come from. Because I know a lot of time, for example, I'll hear different things from people that'll say, oh, you know what, Patty, like I love LinkedIn and I spend all my time on LinkedIn, but I just don't get a lot of engagement on LinkedIn like I do on Facebook, but that's where my clients come from. Well, that's just knowing that people on LinkedIn, yes, there is engagement, but a lot of people just read LinkedIn like a newspaper, right? You know, they get up in the morning, they have coffee, and they don't engage like they do on Facebook. But it doesn't mean they're not seeing it. And it doesn't mean it's not affecting them. And the same with video, right? So I think it's really important that you don't know, until you do the work and you know exactly how your ideal buyer, that's what I like to say, not your target market, your target buyer, how do they take their information? And more importantly, how do they take that information and how does it affect their buying decisions, right? Because that's really where it's at.
I've had clients where let's say we're working together and I'll ask, how did you find me? Where did you find me originally? I remember one client in particular, we were talking and he said, let me think. Oh yeah, no, I've been following you for about 3 years and I found you, it was a YouTube video and it was just something you said in that one video, that one time that just made me realize it was time to contact you. It's like, okay, great. So you don't know necessarily, you do have to ask, I think sometimes, Patty, ask people, where did you find me? How did you find me? You might even want to build in that question into surveys or into your onboarding process when you bring people in. Better understand where people are coming from. I think sometimes we make decisions, maybe even myself included, making decisions without having the full picture of everything that's there.
Absolutely. So what about people who are like, what about entrepreneurs who are like coaches or consultants? Maybe they don't have a course, right? Maybe they do more one-on-one work, or maybe they, they spend their time blogging and, they're just really in that form of working, right, with people one-on-one. Is video for them too?
Yeah, it's for anyone who wants clients. It's for anyone who wants to grow a business. At the end of the day, it doesn't really, whatever your products and services are or however you deliver those, whatever your sales process is, really what I do and what video is intended to do is really more top of the funnel type activities. It's brand awareness, it's visibility, it's engagement, it's lead generation, those types of things. That's what video is intended to do. I think one of the things that people get missed often with video is they think that videos themselves are doing the direct selling. And that can be in some cases. If a video is on a sales page, well, then clearly that's what that page is intended to do, is to sell that specific thing. And those sales pages are usually very strategically written. The copy has been gone over with a fine-tooth comb. There are certain beats, certain words, and keywords that need to be hit at certain points, and even within the video itself. But if we're talking about content marketing, what really is happening with video is you're allowing people into your world so that they can get to know, like, and trust you, which obviously is the foundation to building a relationship with someone, just like dating. So I think that sometimes people, I see this a lot in network marketing, where people are using video to overtly sell the product. And so, you know, they're selling the lipstick, for example, and it's all about the lipstick. You know, what I prefer to see people do is position themselves as in a way to really be seen as a subject matter expert in what it is that they do using video. Build that know, like, and trust, be committed to the process and build over time.
I agree with you, because I know that one of the things that I hear from people all the time is, oh my gosh, Patty, like, you're everywhere. And I'm like, not really. And they're like, oh my gosh, you do so many things. I'm like, no, I do marketing and media. That's what I do. I just do it in a bunch of different ways, because I know where my ideal clients and or my strategic partners are, right? I know where they hang out. And if I had a dollar for every time somebody asked me that question, Patty, what social media platform should I be on? I mean, the short answer is wherever your ideal clients are, right? That is the short answer. But with that said, I believe, or at least I know it's been true for me and for my clients, that not always can you quantify one place where they found you. I mean, if you blog and maybe you're a speaker and you have a Facebook group and they see you on video and you're really good on social and all these things, was it one always? Maybe, maybe not. Like you said, maybe you just said that right thing right then, because they were in the right buying stage, right? The customer journey. But maybe it's just that they saw you numerous times here and here and here and here. And then that one time you said it, but what made them be able to make the purchasing decision? Is it always that one thing? It could have been the 20 other times they saw you. And then that you built that relationship with them. You built that know, like, trust, like you said. So they felt comfortable pulling the trigger now.
Well, when people have, in your case, asked you, Patty, it seems like you're everywhere. You have that omnipresence, which is really what ultimately we want. We want people to feel like we're everywhere. And that's obviously a great place to be. But I think that you're right. It's about touch points. And how many touch points can you have? I mean, there was, and I can't recall exactly where I heard this, but back in the Mad Men days, you know, and the 1950s of advertising, it used to be that you'd have to have like 7 touch points in order to get the client or get the customer. And now my understanding is it's about 21 touch points, like 21 times that people need to hear from you or see you or you be present in front of them in order for them to go, oh yeah, I had that Cheryl girl, she does video. So it's because we're in a very busy environment and the whole world has changed. What I see often is people, especially with marketing, and I'm a big Prince fan. You know Prince, the rock star who passed away several years ago? Formerly known as Prince. I'm a huge fan, but you cannot market like it's 1999. You can't. You've got to market like it is for the year that we live in, right? So stop marketing like it's 1999 and kind of get with the times and realize that the world has changed and that you have to market effectively within the way that the world really works.
So if somebody really hadn't jumped into video yet, right? If they hadn't jumped into video yet, what would be some advice you would give them if they were just starting now? You know, because some people, they've been doing video and they're always learning whatever the newest thing is, right? But if you hadn't done anything, say there's somebody who's just kind of dabbled, and so you were going to give them some advice on where they should start now, what would that be?
Well, it's interesting because my answer used to be different to this question, but now in the COVID world and hopefully now close to post-COVID world, my answer is different. The answer now is speak. Really, it is speak. Video is a form of speaking. And at the core of it, you have to get out and speak about the thing that you are passionate about, the thing that you know, your knowledge, your insights, your experiences, your lessons learned. Be of service to others, share with others. And at the foundation of all of that is speaking. Well, a lot of people are afraid to get out and speak for fear of what friends and family will say, or what colleagues will think, or, gee, will I get this wrong? Or will this come back to haunt me in 5 years from now if I change my point of view or opinion about this thing? Therefore, I will not do this video. I will not speak about this topic for fear of what might happen in the future. So many people are just holding themselves hostage in that area. And I think it really, Patty, is about speaking, getting out there and doing it consistently, and getting to a point where you feel confident to be able to do that. My goal is to help as many people as I can to reach the breakthrough, which is a point at which they feel confident to just take out their phone and go live and talk and speak and just be able to share what's on their mind and do it in a confident, consistent way.
I think that really makes a lot of sense, because I believe that right now speaking is it, but I actually think people love point of view and controversy sells. So I'm going to tell you, I teach this all the time. You're like, oh, Patty, like, I just don't, you know, I'm just so worried I won't have enough to say. Well, you don't actually have to. There's multiple ways to create content. You can create content, which is yours, or you can curate content, which means you give your point of view on somebody else's content. And I have to tell you, when I create content, I get engagement, but people really love it when I curate content, because if somebody says, oh, here's 10 ways to market a podcast, say, for example, well, I know what my 10 ways would be, right? I teach it all the time. But if I see that in an article and I say, oh, wow, I love number 7, I'm adding that to my repertoire. Or I say, oh, wow, I'm not quite sure I agree with number 3, but I love the rest of them. People want to know why, because you're an authority, right? That's how you gain it. People want to know, well, they might or might not have looked at that if you'd have just left a link and just put it, posted it. But as soon as you give your opinion, all of a sudden they want to know, like, oh, why didn't you love that one thing? Or what's the one thing you're adding? So really, people shouldn't be afraid of that, you know? And some of the very first videos I did when I was really nervous about doing video in the beginning was, one of the things that people know about me is that every single day at 6 a.m, I do that quote of the day. My video coach at that time, well, actually, she was just my coach, but what she said to me was, you need to do a video, she said, for like 60 seconds telling us your quote and why did you pick it? Like, what was your thought of why did that resonate with you, or why did you pick it? And just get on Zoom and do that. And I have to tell you, I had a bobblehead at first. And I'm a speaker. I travel all over the world speaking, but there's just something about, you're not on a stage, you're just sitting in front of your screen. And at first, I have to tell you, I thought I really sucked. When I go back and look at them now, I'm like, oh my goodness, right? But you will get better at them, right? You know, and so I feel like, just like when we're all on Zoom meetings now, at first when we all got on Zoom meetings, I don't know, I learned while I was on Zoom meetings how far away I should be, what kind of things I should wear to make myself look better, what kind of background should I have, got different glasses, you know, that didn't have a glare. I mean, we do all that. It's no different. Whenever we do something different, and we step out of our comfort zone, we just have to know that we will get better. You know, it's kind of like I read one time that about blogging, and it said, don't worry about the first 50 because they're going to suck. Right? And I was like, wow, you know, but the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. Like, because people want to know what you have to say, what your point of view is, and they're going to relate to you. So yes, if you're teaching video, well, people probably will pay a little bit more attention to your video. But if you sell garage doors and you're in a video, they're not going to buy your garage door because they don't think you look, you know, audio matters and a lot of those things matter. But I don't think people should let that stand in their way.
Absolutely not. And it's really about what you just described there is thought leadership. And it's about having the confidence and really being committed to putting yourself out there as a thought leader. That might mean that you disagree with some things that are out there. Get out there and share that. But there are a lot of people who are afraid to do that because they go, oh, I don't want to upset anybody. Or what if somebody doesn't like me? No, you have to put, because that's really what it's about. You're going to stand out by positioning yourself as an authority, as a thought leader, as a subject matter expert in what it is that you do. But I think it's really about thought leadership and having
be a leader
in that area.
And I think it's also like, how are people going to choose and know that you're the person for them? I mean, if there's 10 people that do something, if you never, ever give your point of view about anything, how are people going to know that, oh my gosh, that's the one for me. She's it, you know, and I get it. Like, I know when I came out on my website, even I had a moment of fear. Well, it was just a moment where I thought to myself, do I really want to come out and tell people that I really want to work with people who are decision makers, action takers, and rule breakers? It seemed pretty strong, right? But the fact of the matter is, it's the truth. And so why wouldn't you want to do that? Like, you don't want to work with everybody. So this is just going to help define who your people are. Now I have a question. Now let's talk about YouTube in the sense of, you know, a lot of people are doing Facebook Lives, and I get asked this question a lot. I know there's a lot of things where you can do multi-stream things, right? You know, StreamYard, there's several of them, Restream, several different resources out there where you can be in several places. And I get that. That's a tool. But overall, would you say that doing live on a social media channel, like say Facebook, whatever, versus having them be on YouTube and then uploading the YouTube or using it as YouTube and driving it for YouTube, is that better or native?
Oh, native is better. But there is an underlying decision that needs to be made, and it has to do with production. So when we're talking about a YouTube, and I alluded to this earlier about YouTube, you have to be ready for it. When I said that, I meant you be ready for production. Either you have to have the skill or you're going to outsource it to somebody, which is going to cost money. And you have to be committed to the process of outsourcing it, because it's not the kind of thing where you just publish 2 videos on your YouTube channel and it solves all your problems. It's about being committed to that process. I gave you the example for me. It took a year. Right? It's like I committed to a year and I built over time. But the early stages of that, there was not a lot of action going on in the early, you know, so it's something that builds over time. You have to either have the skill set to produce your videos, you're going to have someone on your team who's able to do that, or you're going to have to outsource it. The videos don't fall from the sky. So that's one thing you have to think about, is who's making the videos. So, which brings me to my other point, which is what you were asking about live video. See, the beauty of live video is that it circumvents the post-production. There are tools like Restream, which happens to be my favorite, tools like Restream, these third-party apps that allow you to produce high-quality, professional-looking videos in the moment on the fly. You're actually switching, you're actually producing that content with all the bells and whistles in the moment live. And so you don't have to then download it and do the music and add all these different elements in post-production. In other words, production post-recording. So there's where the big benefit to doing live versus doing recorded video comes at the early stages. I believe that business owners benefit from both. I think it's ideally, we want to get you to a point where you do have both. You have recorded video and you also have the ability to go live. But if I had to choose which of the areas should you focus on first, likely for most people, it's going to be live, because live is the fastest way to get out there and requires the least skill set, because you might not have that kind of time. It took me years to become proficient at editing videos. But if you don't have that kind of time and you need clients like yesterday, then live would be a better option.
See, for me, I only like to work in my brilliance and I hire other people to work in theirs. So the minute I started doing video, I told myself, I'm hiring someone.
That's right.
And so I did that. But
not everyone's willing to do that.
But live works too. And I think it also depends upon what you do. And I also think, like everything we do, what is the goal? Like, what is your goal and objective for that? And I believe that sometimes, based on your goal, it would be live. And sometimes, based on your goal, it would not. Right. You know, so that's why I agree with you about having both of them. But while we're talking about costs too, I think a lot of times I have heard from people that have said, usually my Facebook group, I hear this, where people will say, you know, they want to do video, they want to dabble or they want to jump in, but they're worried about what the costs are, right? You know, and, you know, having a video studio. And like, I know I'm moving into my new house next month. And one of the things that I finally did was, you know, I have a green screen and all that stuff, but in my new house, it has a media room, aptly named, and I'm actually turning half of that into a video studio for me and actually getting a green screen that comes down from the ceiling and all that, and the lights and the whole thing, and upping my game on the videos. But with that said, I didn't start there. I just started just like everybody else on Zoom with the green screen that slid on the back of my chair and all that kind of stuff, right? And stuff though. So let's kind of talk about some of the things, like kind of like the behind the scenes video setup. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And, you know, and there's from this to this, like everybody doesn't have to have some teeny little thing. And, you know, I hear all the time, you know, microphones, this and that, lights, you know, you can just do it from your iPhone. You know, what do they have to have? And then as they get better and start monetizing, what are a few things that they might want to incorporate later?
Okay. So let's talk about it from a beginner and then an intermediate step.
Perfect.
I think when you're a beginner, you can use your phone. You should use what you have. Most smartphones, if you've got a relatively decent newer phone, is absolutely capable of producing at minimum HD, in some cases 4K quality video, your phone. So what happens, I think, sometimes though, Patty, is people put equipment and gear in front of themselves as an excuse to avoid the things that's actually scaring them inside. So
whatever
they're like,
works.
Well, I can't do these videos because I don't have the tripod. You don't actually need a tripod, but hang on to that excuse for not doing the thing you know you should do, right? So it's at the beginning level, use your phone. You could either hold the phone yourself. You could have someone hold the phone for you. You know, you don't even really need external microphones at the beginning. However, you know, you do have to be mindful of wind and noise, air conditioners whirring in the background and things like that, that will impede the quality of the audio. You can get equipment to augment the audio on your smartphone. It can be inexpensive. It doesn't have to be expensive. On my website at cherylpluff.com, there's a resources I recommend section with an Amazon link. Everything that I use and recommend, I put on digital lists on Amazon so that people can see the latest and greatest tools and ring lights and microphones and things like that that I recommend. But when you're a beginner, use what you have. And then when you start to do more, let's say videos that you're recording yourself or even live streaming, you might then want to look at microphones. You do want to maybe look at, maybe it's a lavalier microphone. So that's the kind that the newscasters wear, right? With the little lapel and it clips on your lapel. But there are considerations with that as well. Sometimes the cords are not long enough and then you're tethered to your phone. And so there are definitely considerations around that. Lighting is big. You want to make sure that you have good light, and can be as simple as you have your phone, go to a light source like a window and make sure that the light is coming toward you. You just don't want to have the light behind you. And it can start there. At a beginner level, you can take your smartphone, go to a window and have the light coming toward you. That's really all you need. Then when you get into intermediate, you can start looking at ring lights, microphones. Maybe you have a webcam, like my favorite is the 4K Brio Logitech. There are other tools that you can start to implement as well and bring into your situation. Maybe it is a green screen, maybe not, but that's where I would start.
I love that. That's really, really good. And it's great that you have that resource. You know, and most of those things, I think my very first equipment was less than $100, like everything. And I had like a ring light and I was using my phone. And I think I got this ring light with a tripod. It was like $30 or something like that. I mean, it was really inexpensive. And then I got up like, now I actually just got this really cool thing I can't wait to play with that allows me to use my iPad as a teleprompter, but it's voice activated. So the one that I was using, you know, it would go and I could put it in and I could say what the font size was. This new one I'm getting though, that I'm super excited about, that, you know, if you go off script, it just stops and waits for you to come back and then continues to go. And I'm super excited about that and trying that one. So there's a lot of different things you can do depending upon what you need. You may be one of those people that, you know, love to just tangent, right? You know, maybe that is where you do your best work. You may be one of those people that like to totally 100% script everything out. For me, I'm a professional speaker, so I can do both whenever I want to do both. But I have to tell you, I think the thing for me was I just wanted to be able to connect to people. And my thing that was hard for me was just that because I was a speaker and I'm used to being in front of people. And so when I would be on Zoom or whatever the case may be, and it was just me, that was really where I had to work on and stuff. But in the beginning, to get around that, I just put up images of all kinds of people getting all excited and I would see them, and that worked for me. Like, so there's a lot of different things you can do.
Absolutely. And as far as scripting is concerned, most people don't recommend that they script their videos out word for word, with some exceptions. If you are creating a video for a sales page, then yes, I think that that warrants a script, because there are certain words that you're going to want to hit at certain points. It's very much more strategic. But if you are creating content for social media and it is meant to position you as an expert of what it is that you do, chances are it's better for you to practice speaking and to become a better extemporaneous speaker than it is to script a script, to write a script. Most people don't love sitting at a blank computer screen and being forced to write something. They go, oh, okay, I don't know where to start. And then that process takes 3 days. And then next thing you know, 3 days have gone by and you could have just gone live and spoken from your heart about the thing that was on your heart and impacted people with your message. So I would prefer to see people just becoming better speakers on camera and doing that consistently than to sit and toil over a word-for-word script.
And I would say that during COVID, spending so much time on Zoom as everybody is, we're actually better speakers than we actually think. Yes. We have been practicing for the past year. So if you're not a professional speaker, my guess is you're better at it now than you were a year ago, for sure. So, you know, like everything else, you're going to get better the more you do it. So when is the right time to do it? Like yesterday, right? I think that's that. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for being here with me. I really, really appreciate it. Can you tell people how they can connect with you? Because I know they're going to want to.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. My website is cherylplouffe.com. You can go there and find resources I recommend. Absolutely wish, hope that you'll come and visit me. And there's lots that you can take there.
Awesome. And if everybody just looks down below, you'll see the link directly to that, as well as some of the resources. And she didn't come empty-handed. She brought with her a gift that you'd be able to get to. So tell us a little bit about the gift, because this is a really good one.
Yeah, well, this is me sitting down and saying, what could I do to help people build a plan for the next 6 months? Like if I was starting over and I was starting from scratch, what would I do? And this video plan, this 6-month publishing plan, is my answer to that. It is a step-by-step resource that provides links and ideas and theories and also the roadmap, frankly, for the next 6 months of how I believe you would be better off to approach your video marketing strategy.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. And now we're at the portion of the show. This is the Marketing Media Money podcast, where we ask our guests, we actually pass the mic. This is my version of hashtag social karaoke, where we pass the mic over to them and ask them to share their number one, if they had to narrow it down to their number one marketing, media, or money strategy, what would that be? So Cheryl, here it is.
The number one strategy is to speak on video and position yourself as an authority. Hands down, that is the number one tip. If you can speak on video and position yourself as an authority, you will win online.
That is a great tip. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time to be here with us today and to be so generous with your brilliance. We appreciate it so much. And we want to thank our sponsor, The Exacta Corporation, developer of the Family Organizer Plus platform. And for more information about our sponsor, check them out at exactacorp.com. And if you would like a simple answer to the question, where should I focus my time and energy to attract high qualified ideal clients? Take the Marketing Media Money Assessment, and in 3 minutes or less, you're going to know where you're excelling, where you can make a few changes, and what steps you need to take to achieve massive results. Go to www.m3bizquiz.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Marketing Media Money podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, Please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Thank you again, Cheryl, for being with us today. Thank you to the audience. Make it a phenomenal day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.